as great of a season as this has been for the Astros so far, is it actually a bad thing for some of your favorite players? Get to that here on In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig on the other side of the glass. You can text the show 713-572-4610. We opened up the show today talking about those Astros that even though they lost last night to the Guardians, obviously they're having a tremendous season within two games of the best record in Major League Baseball, despite having the most guys currently on the IL right now, and some of those being obviously some big names for this team. And in these conversations with the Astros, we always commend their ability to win with anybody in this lineup. No matter who they throw out there, they've had success. You bring in Zach Short this weekend against the Dodgers, a career 170 hitter. Has a great weekend, helps them win. Taylor Trammell hits a big home run last night to tie up the game. And we've been talking about this in recent weeks, but it's just that it's the culture, it's the aura, it's all these things about the Astros that just allow them to be successful year in, year out, despite the adversity. So as I was driving in today, it actually kind of dawned on me because I was listening to Seth and Sean talk about this idea of like, hey, it doesn't matter who we throw out there. They're going to have success. And it reminded me of, I watched Netflix did a documentary last season. It came out at the start of this baseball season on the Red Sox last year, kind of like a Hard Knocks for baseball. And in the very opening scene, they talk about ownership saying, you know, we spend so much money here in Boston, but then we look around the league and we see the Braves, who did not spend a ton of money, won a World Series a couple years ago. Diamondbacks made it to a World Series without a top payroll. Even when the Rangers won, they were ninth in the payroll. They weren't top five. This new trend, the Tampa Bay Rays made it to the World Series 5 years ago. They obviously have a small payroll. And the Red Sox owners, who usually have a high payroll, saying like, hey, if these other teams are winning with less, like, why are we spending so much money if we don't have to?
Yeah.
And now it's led to them. Devers has gone, so on and so forth. You look at the Astros. You get rid of Bregman and Kyle Tucker in the same offseason. And now you have, despite all these injuries, one of the best records in baseball with Taylor Trammell and Zach Short and all these other. And it got me thinking on the drive in today, as great of a season as this has been for the Astros, will we actually look back on it down the road next couple of seasons and say like, oh man, it was a fun year, but because of that year, you know, Fromber, they're not going to want to pay Fromber. He's going to be gone. They're not going to want to pay Pena. He's gone. Cause this idea of almost like, eh, we could win with anybody, or we can win with, we don't have to spend that much money. We can win with somebody who's a little cheaper, a little lesser.
It's interesting because it kind of ties in with one of the old coaching adages, usually football or basketball, where you have this problem child type player or underachieving or whatever it may be. And every coach thinks to themselves, well, I'll fix him.
Yeah, right.
You know, he'll be different when I get my hands on him. It's kind of in that same vein. Well, Fromber, you know, we've already proved we can let a big-time pitcher walk and still have great pitching. You know, we proved with Kyle Tucker we can play a little hardball and not want to give up that big contract and still get out of it directly, in this case, Cam Smith. So I get the point, and I think in the Astros' case, they haven't been wrong very often.
No.
They really haven't been wrong very often at all. I mean, Kikuchi last year. You know, they brought him in and sprinkled some pixie dust on him, and all of a sudden he's good. My only worry, and I think this is probably yours as well, there is a line.
Of course.
You know, there is a point where you can't just all of a sudden call the next guy up and he's, you know, good or even great. You know, there are only so many Okerts and, you know, other players out there that can somehow produce as soon as you call them up. But it's just so interesting because I haven't seen that line yet.
No.
Yeah, and it will get to that point if they choose to roll like this because, like, the names Luke rattled off, the Braves, the Tampa Bay Rays, and I throw in the Guardians in there too. Yeah. You got the good moments where you didn't spend anything to get to a World Series or ALCS or something like that, and then you got the moments where the very next year you're probably close to the worst team
Rangers.
In the league. Yeah.
The Rangers are a good example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that part didn't happen yet, but I just think sometimes the things with those teams, that's a hit or miss thing, man.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. Only the Rays have been consistent, right? The Braves are bad this year. The Rangers have been bad since winning the World Series. The Guardians are bad now after
last
year.
They were just in the ALCS last year.
Yeah. So that's actually a good point that I didn't even notice that, yeah, these teams have been inconsistent when trying to win more so on a budget.
And the other thing is, yeah, I'm just looking at their depth chart right now, just scratching my head. I mean, some of these guys and what they're doing. And maybe we're sort of romanticizing it to a degree because, you know, Caratini had a big home run last night. Mm-hmm. But you don't want him playing first base. You don't want him, you know, to be a consistent, you know, player there. You can maybe get away with it. You can maybe get away with, you know, Jose Altuve, the legendary one, in left field instead of second base, or having to play more second base now or whatever it is. I just feel like there is going to be a line where all of a sudden you realize, all right, so we do end up have to end up paying someone here.
Yeah. I mean, it could work out if you waiting on somebody injured to come back.
Yeah.
It's cool if they holding down the fort like this. But to think, oh, we don't need this person, or, mm-hmm. you know, Framber, he can walk, and, you know, we could just keep the ship going. And when it comes to Hunter Brown, are they going to choose to pay him, or mm-hmm. they feel like, are they going to be feeling themselves too much where they could just call somebody from AAA and could just take over?
Yeah.
That's the part I kind of worry about, man, because, I mean, unless you are the Tampa Bay Rays, and did they win anything recently? I don't think they won anything.
No.
They always stayed in contention, but, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to do that all the time, man. Just open up that checkbook once in a while.
For sure. That's what you want as a fan. And to be clear, I'm not saying they're going to become the Tampa Bay Rays and say, like, oh, we'll just run Zach Short and Taylor mm-hmm. Trammell out there, 162, we'll be fine. But just that idea of, like, oh, Jeremy Peña wants how much? Well, yeah. We already replaced Bregman and Correa, and we won without them. So, no, like, you go somewhere else, and we'll find somebody on a discount that we can bring in. Fromber, you want how much? Well, we've already replaced pitcher X, Y, and Z, Cole, yeah. Verlander, so on and so forth. We keep winning. So just that some of those players, you know, they don't need to break the bank for because – they've won with any iteration in the past decade. All these players that have gone elsewhere for the big paydays, they just keep winning. And this year of all years, you lose Bregman, you lose Tucker. People are down on the Astros. They have a bunch of injuries. They're one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah.
And my fear, I guess, would be like almost becoming too arrogant. I always said this about the Patriots and Belichick, where they won those first few Super Bowls, and then he got rid of all of those defensive guys, Richard Seymour and Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel. And he got rid of all of them, and Belichick made himself the defensive coordinator, and I almost felt like there was this arrogance that he felt our defense will be fine with anybody. We don't need these players. And then they went through that stretch where they didn't win Super Bowls for a little while, and they developed new stars. But just that idea of, you know, almost to a fault, thinking like, it doesn't matter who we put out there. It's about the culture. It's about the coaching. It's about the organization. We can win with whatever pieces we have.
And that's not only the danger. I think that's what we should expect. I mean, they haven't. That's been their formula for 10 years.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
that's the way.
10 yeah. years now.
I don't see them changing anytime soon, to be honest.
I mean,
man.
You look at that 2017 roster. I mean, they turned over pretty quickly and were still in the World Series in 2019, still won it again in 2022. Probably the best team in Astros history in baseball, one of the best in baseball history that didn't win a World Series in 19.
Yeah.
And they turned guys over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Charlie Morton, and just go down the list. And
yeah.
So I don't expect them to do it any different, but there is going to be, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
There's some arrogance there.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah. I'm just, honestly, I hate to bring it up because I hope he stay at Astro forever, but I'm looking at Hunter Brown, man, because if he keep pitching like this, he gonna get a or
well,
he should get a,
next.
Yeah, he should get a big payday.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, are they gonna do that with him, or are they just gonna say, hey, you've been with us from the beginning?
The only time they've picked their spot and made a player a lifer was the greatest player in history for this organization. That's Altuve.
Altuve, yeah.
No one else.
Yeah.
Like no one else. They've you know deviated from that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously it's a credit to the job the Astros have done year in and year out. But if you are a big Jeremy Peña guy, and of course this was a topic when he switched over to Scott Boras, you know, the expectation might be that he's not going to be here much longer, right? If you're a big Framber guy, maybe enjoy him while you have him this year because he might not be here much longer. And because you see them have the success, whereas the inverse is Tucker and Bregman Leaf, you do have a bad year. You have a hard time replacing those guys. You think, oh boy, we better make sure we keep our talent that we have in-house. But that obviously hasn't been the case for the Astros. So you can let these guys walk and still be confident that you can field a competitive team. Do you think Framber and Peña are the two big ones? Do you think either one of those guys gets some sort of long-term deal, stay with the Astros for a long time?
I do not. Yeah. I absolutely do not. Fromber especially, I fully expect him. I mean, I fully expect him to be pitching somewhere else.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Pena definitely held with his management now, his agent. Nah, I think that's out the window. I thought it was a chance he could have got a nice little team-friendly deal.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you get your big brother, you get Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on both. 504 said Hunter Brown better be a lifelong Astro. We played the hypothetical, I think I was with Chris Partee at the time, about 10 days ago, of if you could have one do-over for the Astros from the end of last season to now, what would it be? And it was actually, somebody said, give Fromber a contract last year. And I thought, you know what? My do-over would be give Hunter Brown a contract before this season he's had. At the beginning of last season, statistically, he was like one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Now he's turned into one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. You'd love to keep him around. But even he's become obviously very pricey where, man, if you signed him, if you could somehow project what was coming down the road and signed him at this time last year.
Oh, it'd be a bargain. It'd be like Nico Collins.
Yeah. You ain't got to work. Yeah, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Yeah. Compared to what he's going to demand now, it's a big difference. But yeah, 504, of course, you hope Hunter Brown, you have that ace. You hope he sticks around for a while.
And, of course, the only place where they haven't been able to sprinkle that pixie dust is at first base.
It's true.
So, you know, you've seen a couple little signs here and there of, yeah, you can't just count on just plug and play with Astros, you know, the aura carrying you. But by and large, they should be cocky. They absolutely should. I mean, I'm looking at, I know 2017 is a while ago now, but the only pitcher still in an Astros uniform from that team?
McCullers.
Lance McCullers. The only everyday player? Jose Altuve.
That's impressive, man.
That's it.
That's why people hate them so much.
Yeah, that's it. And, they've been so lucky. It's kind of like the lineup yesterday. Like, I watched that game with all these minor leaguers that are in the in the big leagues now. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the line where, you know, you can't be doing this every day. I'll be interested to see what the lineup is today, by the way.
Yeah, at that point, you're getting fancy. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, you're getting fancy. You know, you lost to probably a struggling Guardians team.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's not go too far now.
I know Sean said he's going to tonight's game. I hope tickets are a little discounted these days because you could have paid a lot cheaper to see them down the road in Sugar Land not long ago, most of this roster. You know, just now because they're wearing Astros uniforms, I hope the ticket.
Like dollar dogs, right?
Yeah, that's true. Tonight, it's a good night. Good night to be there. A few texts are coming in saying, like, they understand the conversation, but we're acting like the Astros are the Tampa Bay Rays. They spend a lot of money, and they do. But I will also acknowledge last year they were third in payroll. This year they're seventh. Might not seem like a huge difference, but they did shave off $34 million from the payroll from last year to this year, which when you're spending $200 million, $34 million is a large portion. You know, that's what, like 18% of your payroll that you cut off from last year to this year, somewhere around there, 15%. So no, of course they're not operating like a small market team. We're not saying that. They do spend money. They're seventh in the league in payroll. And, you know, they're spending $200 million on this team this year. But just
they
that
their spots.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It seemed like though with the people they not bring in, but the people they raise in this organization, where they become superstars, it's kind of like, man, we know he going to ask for a lot of money and the Astros ain't going to pay it.
They keep control as long as they can.
Yeah.
And they go to arbitration.
So in the back
and then
of
they
your,
let you go.
Yeah, in the back of your mind, you know, certain players ain't going to be here because it's going to be too much money and that's not how the Astros work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they'll go pay somebody else. They'll use some of that money and pay for a first baseman.
Yeah.
Seems like they don't mind spending money on the first baseman, but when it's like
worked out.
When it's like a Pena or Correa or Bregman, it seemed like that's where it's like, man, we can't. Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah.
By the way, someone's asking, like, where are they spending the money? Yeah, you mentioned Jose Abreu. From what I see here, Jose Abreu is still $19.5 million for this year. So that's brutal.
Yeah, that's spending a lot of money on first baseman.
That's where some of the money is going. By the way, according to this is Spotrac or Spotrac, however you want to pronounce it. Ryan Presley's $5.5 million from the Astros, and Rafael Montero $8.5 million.
Oh,
so
wow!
Three guys there that are not on this team that are getting paid a pretty good amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where some of the money's going towards the couple of guys that maybe didn't work out and aren't here anymore. But yeah, it was just it's been a great year, obviously, for the Astros and everything they've handled. But if you're a Peña guy, if you're a farmer, if you want to keep this team together, I just think the more they do this, the less it is for these guys to stay here for a long time, because seemingly they can win with literally anybody. Zach Short, yeah. Taylor Trammell, Hummel.
Let's not do that again, though.
Let's not. All right, you got that. A little too cute.
You got a little. All right, let's get back on track. Cute.
Let's see what lineup they roll out tonight. Although you have Hunter Brown tonight, knock on wood, so it shouldn't, you know, shouldn't take too many.
Can start.
Shouldn't take too many runs, you would think. Speaking of Figgy, it's the time of the day, each and every day here at this time, for Figgy's mixtape. What do we got going on today?
Yeah, so we got a guy that tried using an AI lawyer in court. Oh, no. And you don't want to miss what the judge had to say about this. Plus, a woman, they got a new trend going on whenever it comes to a first date.
Oh, boy.
So I want to see if, do you think this is a fair thing to do for a woman on the first date? 713-572-4060. I'll let you know.
Love it. Looking forward to it. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.
Yes, it is Figgy Smith's tape. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. So it's a guy by the name of Jerome DeWard, mm-hmm. who is the founder of a startup company pretty much promoting AI legal tools. And AI is getting out of control now, man, the way people are trying to use it. And I think eventually this will be the normal. But right now it seems kind of weird the way people are just throwing this in out of nowhere, just throwing people off, including this judge. So he decided to use this AI attorney at a court hearing.
Oh, Lord.
And this is how it went. So the first voice you're about to hear is the AI voice. And then you're going to hear the judge.
May it please the court. I come here today, a humble pro se, before a panel of five distinguished justices.
Is this, hold on. Is that counsel for the case?
I generated that.
I'm sorry?
I generated that? That is not a real person.
Okay. It would have been nice to know that when you made your application. You did not tell me that, sir. I received the application. And you have appeared before this court and been able to testify verbally in the past. You have gone to my clerk's office and held verbal conversations with our staff for over 30 minutes. Okay? I don't appreciate being misled. You are not going to use this courtroom as a launch for your business, sir. So if you are able to shut that off. If you want to have oral argument time, you may stand up and give it to me.
So
I love that. That was a great response.
Yeah. So in the middle of that, when she said shut that off, you know how you watching a court hearing on Zoom or whatever, mm-hmm. and then this AI white looking guy just pop back up like he ready to talk again. Like, shut that off.
Shut that off.
Oh, there was an actual like person?
It was an actual person. Like, I would have never known. You could tell this looked real fake, though.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah, it was an actual guy in the video. Mm-hmm. Like, they played the video. So I'm like, man, it's getting a little too scary.
But it seemed like he really was trying to use the court as just like for his business. Like, for this lawyer, is he part of it or something?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but apparently he didn't discuss that with her.
Yeah, obviously.
He just tried to bring that up like it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you can read, right, he could probably just read a statement, or he could just read the same script that the AI produced. I don't know why you have to have this fake AI.
That's why I thought he might be trying to endorse, you know, promote his thing.
Makes sense. I love that when she said, "What? Shut that off." That's flashbacks to, like, you know, your mom trying to tell you something.
Now you turn that off.
Yeah, the TV's still going. Yeah.
Shut that off now.
Yeah. But. So one other question here. So, well, nobody knows the answer, but like, this is something that is a thing, like, you know, AI generated defense.
I think it's
attorneys.
I think it's trying to become a thing. So this guy, I guess this guy have a some type of startup company,
mm-hmm.
where he's trying to do AI legal tools.
Yeah.
So I guess if somebody, it sounds like he's trying to, I don't want to say get around some stuff, but maybe trying to run a little company. Yeah. Say, oh, you need a lawyer? Here's an AI lawyer here. Instead of maybe paying some actual lawyers and attorneys.
Yeah, well, don't go into that courtroom.
Yeah. It's just so funny because the way, let me go back to this, because the way it started, it just sounds so fake, man. Just listen to this.
May it please the court. I come here today a humble pro se before a panel of five distinguished justices.
It didn't take her long.
Yeah, it was just like, wait a minute. Like, is this a movie? Like, what is this, Law and Order?
Would you feel confident in being represented by AI?
Okay, no. So that's where I was going.
Yeah.
Right now, no.
Yeah.
Because ChatGPT and all these others, a lot of times, I mentioned this about a week ago, a little over a week ago. Like, at the end of all the information they give you, they're like, check for errors.
Yeah, right.
You know, check for. So it's not quite there yet. But I will say, AI gets all its information, and once it's perfected, and I think it will be, from actual legal cases that you couldn't even begin to research,
yeah.
You know?
The thing is, I feel like part of this stuff, I guess it depends what you're going to court for and all that, it have no emotion to it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need that emotion, and lawyers and attorneys probably know this. You got to bring out a certain emotion.
You got to put on a show.
You can't sound like a happy person if you on trial for murder.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got to have that. You got to switch it up, and I don't know if AI could just switch it up.
But I do think
there's
a place for, they will at some point, not now, have more information than we could ever get.
Oh yeah,
for that particular case.
Yeah,
especially and it might come in handy.
Yeah, especially if it's something simple.
Yeah.
So, we probably don't see this more often. All right, it's the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So it's a new trend going on with women whenever they go on their first date. So apparently the trend is women are not, I guess, getting ready for first dates.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do their hair. They don't do makeup. And they try to bring this take it or leave it type thing.
Yeah.
So do you feel like is this fair? Like, they just kind of giving you the real deal on the first date instead of getting all dressed up, makeup and all this stuff, and then surprise, weeks later, it's like, whoa, you ain't got no teeth? Wow, that ain't your real hair?
You don't have no
teeth. I thought your eyes was blue. Why they brown?
I kind of feel both on this. I think it's kind of cool. Like, this is what I'm going to get. This is what she is. So it's good for both the male and the female, or however it works out. But at the same time, you know, it's a date. Put a little effort in, you know, because I am.
Yeah, now it did say they start ramping up around the second, third, fourth date where they start getting more dressed up. But the very first date, they just, I guess, show up in some sweats, hair down, no makeup.
I kind of don't mind that at some level.
Yeah, I actually don't mind it either, because I feel like guys can see when somebody's really pretty.
Yeah.
Even if they don't be all dressed up, no makeup, you could kind of see somebody like, dang, she got some potential, or she kind of cute.
Yeah.
Just in some sweatpants and all that stuff. We usually see that when a girl walking around in Walmart or something like that. And they're like, dang, she look all right. She just in here not even looking a hot mess with a bonnet on.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I kind of like it. Now, I wouldn't go so far as like the sweatpants and everything. Like, still kind of dress
up.
A little effort, but you don't need to get all dolled up for sure. So that, you know, people know what they're getting right off the bat. But then, the old school part of me, like you said, John, was kind of like, at the same time, you know, obviously first impressions are important. It is a date. I appreciate a little effort. But I like the idea.
Yeah.
When you first brought it up, I thought, this is ridiculous. And then as we were sitting here, I was thinking about it. I was like, I kind of do like that.
On the other hand, if she is the one, you'll spend the rest of your life with her in the sweatpants and no makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So. Yeah, but I do think that's cool, but it's a little tricky too, because when if it's the second, third, fourth, fifth date?
Yeah, when are you gonna do something,
and
man?
And maybe that's just her.
Yeah.
Then that could be a bit of a red flag. Yeah. Like, damn, girl, you ain't doing your hair.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know it kind of is the opposite progression, where normally it's like, all right, let's see how long into the relationship until she gets really comfortable and she stops trying with me. This is going to be the opposite. Like, okay, at what point is she actually going to start trying with me instead of just always showing up in sweatpants?
Yeah.
All right, I got to get to this story, man, in the Loop Sports Radio 610, the mixtape. So I'm not sure if you guys seen this video going viral a little bit about a news anchor being drunk while doing a news broadcast.
No.
So it's a lady by the name of Heather Kovar, and she was doing news up in she was doing news at WRGB, and I want to say this was in New York. And here is what she sounds like not drunk. This is Heather right here on a regular day, no drinking and all that stuff, doing a news broadcast.
Good Saturday morning. I'm Heather Kovar. We have your day's top story straight ahead. Right now, this is a live look over downtown Troy using our Fraunhofer SkyCam network. Chilly cold last Saturday of February out there. Let's get right over to meteorologist Craig Gold for that weekend.
So you sound pretty
normal,
right?
That sounds pretty much like a local, perky, happy early morning newscast.
Yeah, nothing to see here right here. But now here's the video Heather Kovar that started going viral recently that I want to say this happened a couple years ago. But this is her when she was a little bit drunk.
Good afternoon. Like I was telling you this morning, if you watched us this morning, starting at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., I told you, you know what, today, what a beautiful day outside. It is just amazing. And so moving on tonight is we have to tell you also, you know, like other news that's happening in the area and across the, you know, the area. In the nation, let me tell you about this. A 4-year-old girl is actually dead. Another man is clinging to life. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here with you. I'm sorry, Craig Adams. Why did I say that? And of course, just like me, meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so, he's in and we've been tracking this.
Oh, wow.
All right, you know, she's tonight with more the Saturday baseball. The New York Mets back in action in New York Series against their National League rival, Miami Marlins. You know how much we love the Mets and the Yankees.
Good Lord.
Man, that was bad. I had to look this up to make sure it was real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is this like a skit or SNL skit or something like that?
And she wouldn't stop. She wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
Very talky drunk.
Yeah, so apparently this was very real. And I tried to do a little research to find out who it was and kind of what she was up to and what happened. And I ran across this YouTube story about just random anchors drunk. So they showed a couple other people, but they came to the story of her and kind of explained what happened that day.
Admittedly, this case of on-air drunkenness isn't confirmed, as the newscaster in question later attributed her behavior to sleep deprivation while speaking with the Times Union.
Of course.
Reportedly, Heather Kovar of Schenectady, New York's WRGB CBS 6 had just gotten back to work after time off following her father's death. She was scheduled to work back-to-back shifts that weekend, and that's when things went awry. Kovar showed up on air for the 6 p.m. Saturday broadcast, slurring her words, going off on tangents, and even calling their meteorologist by the wrong name. Viewers took to X during and after Kovar's broadcast to voice their opinions. Some were sympathetic and concerned for her well-being, but others were less friendly. One wrote, "That's what exactly a hot mess looks like." Adding to the muddle, former NBC executive Mike Singleton wrote a series of tweets updating people on Kovar's situation. He claimed a producer at CBS disclosed to him that Kovar often showed up at work intoxicated, just never to the extent that it was noticeable on the air.
Wow.
CBS suspended Kovar following the incident, and she responded by opting not to renew her contract with them when it expired on July 31st of that year.
So, clearly,
she had a lot going on.
Yeah, this was not a one-time.
Yeah, it was a lot of personal issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you heard that last part, she decided not to renew her contract. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I'm in a rabbit hole at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, gee, I wonder where did she go? Did she continue her career in news?
Is she doing anything now?
I'm glad you said that. I don't know if she's doing something now. So I decided to look up to see where is she currently at now. Mm-hmm. So, apparently she ended up in Texas.
Oh, wow. Of course.
So she was the weekend anchor for KBTX in Bryan, Texas.
Oh, wow.
So this was right around God's country, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is around
God's country, baby.
Yeah. So this was around College Station. And I didn't find any audio for this, but she was actually in the news for something else.
Oh boy.
So this is the headline that I saw before I clicked on the headline. A TV news anchor in Texas was arrested on domestic violence charges after police said she broke her boyfriend's nose.
Oh, man.
And yes, it was her.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It was her. So she was arrested on a Monday night in College Station. According to court reports or records, Kovar was drinking margaritas at a Mexican food restaurant when she got into an argument with her boyfriend over relationship issues they've been having. They went back to her apartment, which was across from Texas A&M.
Of course.
Where the Texas A&M Police Department said the fight turned physical. Kovar punched him 12 times in the face. 12 times in the face, bit his left arm and scratched the other arm, according to the court documents. Mm-hmm. He suffered a bloody broken nose, and to the point the boyfriend had to barricade himself in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
So if I had to take a wild guess, I don't think she's in broadcasting right now at this moment.
Yeah, she needs help.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
She had a lot going on, and I feel like drinking is kind of the main story.
Yeah,
in her life.
Yeah, that turned into kind of a funny, you know, whatever. There's an anchor that's drunk. That's going to be funny. This woman is in a very dark place and needs help.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they showed a little mugshot, and I'm just like, damn, man. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to tell us there was a happy.
Yeah.
It got worse.
And I was going to say, we could get her in studio. She's not far from here, but no, never mind.
At that point, I'm like, man, let me stop digging, man, before I see something else.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
I did not expect to see this. Like I said, I thought it was just a random, funny anchor, little bit.
How'd she end up in Bryan?
I know, you go from New York.
We'll take her.
Yeah. Doing weekends. Yeah,
doing weekends in Bryan.
Yeah. That's tough. That's a bit of a fall from grace.
Yeah, crazy, man.
And then it only got worse. Tough. That's Figgy's mixtape. I saw Rob send something on YouTube for you, Figgy, for a potential future mixtape. But if you have any ideas as well, send them to Figgy on Twitter, or you could always text the show 713-572-4610. Somebody did say AI will never replace actual lawyers from 817. I mean, lawyers, maybe they can, they're the lawyers, maybe they can make up some sort of law that will keep them from being able to be replaced by AI. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the small little traffic violations and stuff like that, I think that can help.
Mm-hmm.
But if my life is on the line and I'm looking at years in prison, now I need a physical person there representing me. I can't count.
You don't want any glitches. You lose your lose your Wi-Fi.
Oh, sorry, Your Honor. I don't know why this video is playing.
Your Honor, can you just hold on one second?
My lawyer's been disconnected.
I know I'm facing 25 to life, but just hold on while we get the computer together.
Yeah, can we reset the router in here, please? Yeah, for real. Coming up, we'll catch up with the guys from The Drive. And also, tough loss for the Astros last night, but it's certainly a chance to bounce back tonight with the Hunter Brown on the mound. We'll talk about it, see if we have a lineup for tonight's game, get a little crosstalk as well. We'll do it next in The Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig here on In The Loop. Appreciate you hanging with us on this Tuesday. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. We'll catch up with the guys from The Drive in just a little bit. And before we do so, looking ahead to tonight, the Astros coming off that, disappointing loss yesterday. Most people figure that the Guardians coming into town, the Astros just swept the Dodgers, they'll be fine. Guardians have lost 10 straight games. They had scored 15 runs total in those 10 games. They averaged to lose the 10 games by about 3.5 runs per game. They were batting 160 in the 10-game losing streak. Meanwhile, the Astros were playing some of the best baseball in the league, just swept the Dodgers. They were at home here in Houston, and yet the Guardians won last night. As John Sterling, the longtime Yankees broadcaster, would say, that's baseball, Susan. And the Astros lost last night. But as I said earlier, you know, I think that was just like the ultimate trap game. You just swept the Dodgers. Now you return home. You get the Guardians. You lose 7-5 last night. But tonight we get Hunter Brown on the mound. So, you know, we always talk about the Astros winning, or at least not losing these series. They haven't lost a series in, I think it's like 2 months now. 13 straight series without a series loss. They lost last night, but you get Hunter Brown tonight. Give you a chance to get back in the win column here against the Guardians.
Yeah, Hunter Brown, you know, obviously you feel better, especially against a team that, I think they'd lost 10 straight games. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about a couple of weeks, and then they get theirs. But, you know, last night, I'm looking forward to seeing what the lineup is today.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's nothing you can do about you know, paternity leave, and I never have questioned anyone. You can go back to the Babygate days of the Oilers. I was taking the side of, you know, that's your child. That's your first only chance to be there for that child anyway. You do it. But boy, the timing was just could have been a little better on on things. Can't you just hold it for another week? Because at this point, on top of everything else, now you have the paternity leave, which again, you know, you have to support, but just a lot of backups in there, a lot of minor leaguers in there.
Yeah, sure, there is right now. The 6-9 hitters of last night's order: Hummel, career 173 hitter; Trammell, career 163 hitter; Short, career 172 hitter. And then Corona making his big league debut, but he was a 228 hitter in AAA this year before getting the call up. That was half the lineup. And yet they still scored a handful of runs. They still did really well offensively against the Guardians. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Christian Walker thing, because I was going to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier, I referenced my drive-in, and on the drive-in, I was flipping around on stations just to make sure, you know, well, we're not missing anything going on in the sports world. And on another station here in town, they were giving Christian Walker a hard time for taking time off. So I was going to ask you, but you just answered it, that you don't have any issue with these athletes, you know, taking paternity leave.
No, you can't. And you don't, and I don't. You know, that is your only chance to be there for the birth of that child. That's it. There isn't a do-over. There isn't a time to. And by the way, not only should you be there and do you want to be there, but your wife or significant other needs you there.
Yeah.
It's so important. What I'm halfway kidding about is, boy, you know, couldn't they induce last week or next week? Or
yeah, that's like Sean McVay when they asked him when his wife was pregnant, I think this past season, and he said something like, we'll make sure it's not on a Sunday. Because they asked, like, you're going to miss a game if she goes into labor? He's like, it won't be on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a little different in football where it's just one day out of the week you have to worry about. Mm-hmm. No, but I'm with you. Christian Walker, it's 3 days that he gets to take off, I believe. It's just 3 days over the course of a 162-game season. I did try to Google it just to see, and as far as I can tell, I think this is his first child, so I think that's important.
That's like, even more so.
Right. If it's your fifth kid, okay, maybe you can make an argument, but...
Oh, no, that sucks. That stinks for the fifth kid.
Yeah.
Like, you were there for the other four.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But the first kid, yeah, I think you got to be there, and it's only 3 days. But, yeah, like you said, it is tough timing, not only for the Astros lineup, but I think Christian Walker, too, where...
Coming off of L.A.?
Right. He was just finally seemed to be hitting that stride. He's batting about .283 the last couple of weeks, had that big weekend. Maybe 3 days away won't totally disrupt him, but it's like, oh, man, just when we thought he was getting into the swing of things, now he has to step away. For Christian, do you think this is prior to the paternity leave and now whatever else may happen this week when he returns, but what we saw in L.A. the last couple weeks, like, do you think he's turning a corner or, you know,
well,
just a
know
hot
what
streak?
To make of that, because he just – Dodger Stadium, he just owns.
Yep.
And it's been his entire career. He shows up at Dodger Stadium, he just smashes. And then there's this little break, too.
Yeah.
So is he going to – had he come back and maybe, you know, gotten stayed hot, then maybe things can start to sort of develop and get better. But I wouldn't have real, real high hopes, you know, when he does come back. It is 3 days, right?
I believe so.
I think it's three.
I think it's only three. Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Then there's like the bereavement list as well. I think that's 3 days. Maybe I'm confusing that. I think it's only 3 days that Walker will. Just this Guardian series, I believe. Then he'll be
and
back
by the way,
weekend.
If she says, oh, honey, just go ahead and play your games, don't play your games. Still take that 3 days because she's just being nice and it'll come back to haunt you.
Figgy, if you're an athlete, wife goes into labor. You taking the time off during the season?
If I'm playing baseball, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm playing baseball, yeah. I mean, like you said, it's 162 games, man. They give people just rest.
Oh, but not football?
Football, I would try to work around that, man. Because I feel like it's a little more important. Because, I mean, you've seen players that play the game and ran right to the hospital afterwards.
Yeah.
So, to me, I feel like that might be a little more important to do that. But as far as baseball, man, they give people rest all the time and they just sit there and eat sunflower seeds. So I don't see anything wrong with taking a couple days off, you know, for your kid.
No, man, you got to. You don't that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And so then you'll get Walker back and be able to plug that into the lineup for one of those spots where you have the all the Mendoza hitters for the second half of this Astros lineup right now. we'll see when the lineup does come out at some point here this afternoon of what it looks like tonight with Hunter Brown on the mound. You hope you don't have to require a ton of runs or a ton of offense tonight, knock on wood, for the Astros. But we'll see. We'll see what they get from that lineup. And, yeah, last time, like I said, scored quite a few runs. Taylor Trammell had that big homer, his first hit with the Astros, so that was good to see. Hopefully he could keep it going.
Home run.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he does. He's one of those classic guys, like a lot of hitters nowadays, where they just strike out a bunch, and then if they do get a hit, it's a home run. And it's not a ton of hits. Trammell bats 163 for his career. But that's it. He's either striking out or he'll hit you a home run occasionally.
Yeah. Four minor leaguers, basically, in the lineup last night.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole second half of the lineup.
I think we saw the line. I think we saw with the line of demarcation there, so to speak.
I kind
of
hate that they lost this game.
They almost won that game.
Yeah, they did.
If it wasn't for old Colton.
Yeah, they
did. Hold on, real quick. The hell you know what Trammell is? How you know he's a feast or famine guy? What, you been down there studying Sugarland?
I know, Taylor. Been,
that was his first hit.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Not to, yeah, not
I wouldn't
to,
put it past him.
Not to name drop. I got him in my phone. Taylor, I know Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, you know him.
Yeah,
oh,
we were in the minors
Taylor
together.
Taylor in your phone.
Yeah, we were in the minors together. Great. Probably the nicest athlete I've ever met.
So he's
outside
a feaster,
of Clint.
So he's a feast
there
or famine
you go. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, feast or famine guy. Yeah, he'll hit home runs and strike out.
Well, I don't know if that's how you create staying power around
no,
these sports.
I know.
No.